Hey, I'm excited for the word God has for us today. I'm going to give JR a 3. I don't know where my phone is, y'all. Kelly was like, hey, JR said text him. So now I'm going to let you into the world of behind the scenes. I always give JR a point of when he'll come up and play. So now you're all, you know, point 3, JR's going to come up and play the keys. And everyone's probably going to smile. It's probably going to ruin the moment. But I had not given him a point yet. So that's what I was doing. JR, point 3, real slick. But I don't know where my phone is, actually. There it is right there. I was saving myself a seat. No, behind you. Look at that. My coffee's sitting there too. I'm saving myself a seat, you know. Hey, let's get in the word this morning. We're going to be in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and I'm excited for what God's going to do today. Starting in verse 31, John chapter 8. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We are descendants of Abraham, they answered him, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free? Jesus responded. Truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. So if the son sets you free, you really will be free. I know you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me because my word has no place among you. I speak what I have seen in the presence of the Father. So then, you do what you have heard from your father. Our father is Abraham, they replied. If you were Abraham's children, Jesus told them, you would do what Abraham did. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You're doing what your father does. We weren't born of sexual immorality, they said. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me because I came from God and I am here. For I didn't come on my own, but he sent me. Why don't you understand what I say? Because you cannot listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Who among you can convict me of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? The one who is from God listens to God's word. This is why you don't listen, because you are not from God. We're grateful for this word, Lord. We're grateful for this amazing gospel, the gospel of John, and we're believing that you're going to speak to us this morning. We need a word from you. It is Resurrection Sunday still. No doubt about it. I think there's such a thing as Easter blues. You get through Easter, back to normal. We don't have to go back to normal. Grave is still empty. That's a word. The grave is still empty. And I pray that we would live like that, Lord. Still an empty grave. Jesus is still alive. He is Lord, and that is who we're worshiping today. That's who we're fixing our eyes on. I pray that we would walk out of here being more committed to hold fast to the word of God. It's what you call us to do. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I was so blessed to be raised in an amazing church, Second Baptist Church of Warner Robins. I've shared before that I am in this church. I was in this church all the time. I mean, all the time. I'll jokingly say, you know, here at Sunrise, it's a little bit easier. It's a Sunday morning deal, and then we all go to the beach or whatnot. At Second, you're there all the time, and it was awesome. All my friends were there. At 15 years old, I thought I wanted to be a preacher. 15. I didn't know what a preacher was. You can chuckle. I didn't know. But at Second, if you were saying, I think I'm going to be a preacher, you then were given the label preacher boy, the preacher boys. That's what we were called, the preacher boys. And so we were really, they would pour a lot of time into us. They would invest in us. They would mentor us and raise us up. I remember at 15, my buddy Jonathan Morton was like, hey man, I'm leading worship at this church. Come and preach. So my dad rode with me. I'm 15. Couldn't drive on my own. He rode with me. We went up to this country church, and I preached a 12-minute incredible message. And this was like in one of these old country churches, and I did this illustration with the Matrix, like anyone's going to know what that is. But it was an amazing message, I think, in the world, not of the world, kind of like the Matrix, you know. And so, preacher boy, okay, now, Pastor Rastus Salter pastored our church back in Georgia for over 50 years, or almost 50 years. And this is what he would say to all the preacher boys. Preach the word, love the people, be yourself. Preach the word, love the people, be yourself. So this was the, he passed away when I was, I think, around 16. This was the words that were passed on to me. David, if anything, preach the word, love the people, be yourself. Preach the word, love the people, be yourself. And this is what I've sought after the last 11 or 12 years since we've been down here in Florida. Preach the word, love the people, be yourself. Now, when it comes to loving the people, I probably could have done a little bit better job with that, okay? Not perfect at it. When it comes to being myself, that's a different world. Like, I mean, you try to be yourself, and then I'm kind of myself, and then it's, you know, you go down this road as a pastor, people start noticing everything you're wearing. So I would start to wear different shirts, and like, you're just wearing the same shirt, it's a different color, and then you start to not be yourself. So I've struggled to be myself, but preach the word. Now, this is one, though, we haven't been perfect in my preaching. Our church hasn't been perfect in preaching, but we have been deeply committed to exegeting the word of God exactly how it says, what it says. We have been deeply committed to preaching the word of God, to preaching a pure gospel. We've been deeply committed to making sure that we are interpreting it properly. Why? Why is preaching the word so important? Because our desire as a church, when we send you out in the community, is not to give you a bunch of points that are going to help you, you know, with your anger or your lust or your money problems. No, our desire is to point you to the scriptures and live out what the scripture says in terms of your money, your lust, and your anger. The word of God answers every area in life. Every question you have, it's there. So we preach the word because we want you abiding in the word. Or our big idea for today is this: hold fast to the word of God. Hold fast. It's so weird having the screen where I can see it now. And this wasn't planned. That's projectors out. Hold fast to the word of God. That's our big idea for today. And our first point for today is this: abide in the word. Abide in the word. And we see this in verse 31. Look at what Jesus says in verse 31. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples." Now, if you back up, we read this first kind of opening clause in this section. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed. You don't really think anything of that, you know, all right, Jews who had believed, until we just read on. And what we realize, Jesus is talking to people who had believed, and something happens. I don't know if you picked up on what we were reading, and when we read these large chunks, you can kind of get out of your head. Something happened because these people had believed, and now Jesus is suggesting these people no longer believe. They had believed, they were followers of Jesus, but now Jesus is saying, you're slaves to sin. They had believed, but then Jesus is calling them liars. They had believed, but then Jesus is saying, no, you aren't believing at all. You're a child of the devil. Now, if you've ever been told you're a child of the devil, has anyone ever been told that? No, that, if you have, I'm so sorry. That is harsh, but that's what Jesus is saying to these people who had believed. He is saying now, you are not a child of God, you're a child of Satan. I mean, come on now, that would get your attention. And so the question we have to ask is, what in the world happened? Because this is what Jesus is definitely saying and what we can take straight from the scripture. There are people who have been professing Jesus as Lord for years, and when they die, turns out they really weren't children of God. That's what he's saying. Very emphatic. You were a believer. You were a follower. Now you're not. What's happening there? I'll tell you what's happening. And we see it throughout this text. It's a theme that's been popping up all throughout the Gospel of John, is what we would call fickle faith. Faith not grounded in the word of God. It's just like a sprinkling, like, you know, I got my little seed of life here and I'll toss it on the scriptures, but it's not deeply rooted in the word of God. Faith that isn't really deeply abiding in the Word of God, that's not grounded in the Word of God. There are a lot of people, and Jesus was dealing with this again. It popped up in John 2, and then if you remember in John 6, do you remember the masses, thousands of people were following Jesus? Do you remember this? The masses ended up saying, I'm going to exit this way. You're crazy. I want nothing to do with Jesus. What's happening is faith that isn't deeply rooted in the Word of God. Not everyone who claims to be a Christ follower truly is. What does Jesus say in the text? He says in verse 31, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciple. If you continue. So this is a call to true discipleship. That's what he's calling us to. But this word continue is a big word. Now, if you've grown up in church, you've heard the Greek word in this. What is that word continue or abide? Someone say it in Greek. Someone knows it. Come on. Don't know it. Come on, somebody. Priscilla Shire people, she's big on this. Abide, Greek word. Minnow. Y'all, come on now. Has anybody heard that Greek word before? No. Okay. That completely fell flat. I shouldn't have even gone there. Okay. Minnow. Can we say that together? Okay. That's the Greek word for continue or abide or really anchor in, remain, stay, reside. This is a big word that pops up in scripture and it is rooting yourself in. True discipleship is rooted in the word of God, abiding in the teachings of Jesus. So Jesus is saying abiding is the confirmation of genuine faith. It's not just about profession. He said, if you want authentic faith, it requires you to have an enduring commitment until your final breath in the Word of God. Skip ahead to verse 37. I know you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me because my word has no place among you. Uh-oh. I read that and I said, uh-oh. Can we say that together? Uh-oh. This is how I kind of, when I'm reading the word, I'm talking out loud to myself. I wrote down, uh-oh, they're trying to kill him. Why? How have they gone from being followers of Jesus to trying to kill Jesus? He tells them. What does he say? Because my word has no place among you, AKA, you aren't abiding in my word. Here is something we all need to hear, because the Jews were tying their self-professed faith in the fact that they were descendants of Abraham. That's what they were doing. Because we are descendants of the great Abraham, we're good. Okay, now we see this play out in the church all the time. For the Jews, they're saying to Jesus, don't care what you say, Jesus. Have you not checked our lineage? We're from Father Abraham. Had many sons. Y'all are with me. That's what they're saying. We're from Abraham. Like that is where we're from, so we're good. Now you fill in the blank, because this is going all in the church right now. What is it? Well, I was raised in church all my life. I've always known God. I've always loved him. We've heard that before. Always loved him. My dad's a pastor. So hey, what do you think about Jesus? Well, what I think is my dad's a pastor. So that tells you anything. This is going on all the time. My parents are Sunday school teachers. I was born and raised in church. I mean, it was like that's all I did. So that's the answer. For the Jews, it's our father. We're descendant of Abraham. You know what Jesus is saying? I don't care if you're a descendant of Abraham. And no, that's not minimizing being a descendant of Abraham. That would be pretty amazing. But he's saying that's not what's going to get you in. That's not the end all for you. So you're however long you've been coming to this church or any church, or if you were raised in church, or if your dad's a pastor, or you were one of the ones that were born and raised in church like I was, it doesn't matter. What matters is, are you genuinely abiding in the Word of God now? We had a friend. I was on this golf trip a few years ago, and we were riding. And when I hang out with my golf buddies, or really any buddies, this is what happens. Because I'm a pastor, and I've got some education, they think I can just answer every single question. True, this is true. Like, I don't know all the answers. I'm far from knowing all the answers. Trust me. But the question came out. They're talking about a buddy of ours who was once going to go in the ministry. He wants nothing to do with God now. He's actually a medical doctor now. And I was asked, you know, what's going to happen to him? This is they were pointing. We were riding in the truck. I'm sitting in the back of the truck. What's going to happen with him? What's going to happen with him, David? What do you think? And I said, well, if he does not swing back around and begin abiding in the Word of God, it's not going to be good for him. So I said, oh, my goodness, what do you mean? Pastor Chris and I know this guy. We were there when this guy was like, I'm going to be a preacher. He was one of the preacher boys. That's the thing. A lot of these preacher boys, a lot of them aren't preachers, Christians at all now. That's what Jesus is saying. Like, it doesn't matter what you say, doesn't matter what you profess. What matters is an enduring faith in me. And Jesus is establishing, it doesn't matter what you're saying in the spiritual realm. It matters how you live, how you act, how you love. Now, I don't want to at all insist that we're preaching a do more Christianity. So please don't walk out of here thinking, oh my goodness, I'm looking at my last week and it was terrible. Not what I'm saying. We preach a Christ crucified, spirit-empowered living. We're not perfect, but we continually abide. Jesus says abiding. What is that? It's holding close to the teachings of Jesus. It's being committed to never let go to the Word of God. It's holding on so much that you can barely contain what you are intaking. It's letting the Word of God inform every area of your life. It's dominating you. Abiding means you do what the Bible says even when you don't like what the Bible says. That should be repeated. Abiding in the Word means you're doing what the Scriptures say even when you don't like what the Scriptures say. And we've all been there. You're reading. I don't know if I like that. That's kind of touching me a little bit. Different. I don't know if I want it. Abiding is doing what the Scriptures say even when you don't like what the Scriptures say. It's taking the long game. It's remaining patient. It's walking with Jesus for a lifetime, not just a quick stint, not a week, not a month, not 40 years. I mean forever you're abiding and you make it to the end. Abiding doesn't look for the Bible to validate how you think or feel on a particular subject. It just goes to the Word and says, what is the Word informing my decision-making about this particular thing I'm struggling with? But we've got a lot of, well, I need this to confirm or validate how I'm thinking or feeling so that I can feel good about the sin I'm stuck in. That's not abiding. Abiding doesn't look for a church or pastor that only is making you feel good. Abiding is looking for a church and pastor that is deeply rooted in the gospel, a pure gospel, regardless if it aligns with the life you are currently living or not. And that's really important for our community because many of you, this is not going to be your church family 2 years from now. And you're going to have to search. And we see this all the time. People go, specifically when they get out west, they'll call, I'm struggling to find a church home. What are they saying? They're not saying there's not churches around. It's, I'm struggling to find a church that's truly committed to the gospel. So that's a word for all of you who we love you and we're grateful for all our military families. So honored that this is your church home. But just remember, always look for a church that is preaching a pure gospel, not just one that's making you feel better. That's what abiding in the Word of God is. That's why we saw God tell Joshua in Joshua 1:8, meditate. Before you lead the people, meditate on the Word of God day and night. The psalmist in Psalm 1:2, he was the one who delighted in meditating on the Word. Abide in the Word. This is how God reveals himself to us. And then what? Jesus says, if you continue in my Word, you will know the truth in verse 32. Verse 31, if you continue in my Word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Now that's one that has been way overly quoted. But let's go to point two. Point two, find truth in the Word. Find truth in the Word. Again, Jesus says, continue in my Word, you really are my disciple. This is how you will find truth. He says you will know the truth. You abide in the Word, expect to learn the truth, the absolute truth. Important thing to realize is the truth is not always going to reveal the prettiest you. And I didn't come here to smack you with the Bible. That's not what I did at all. I think it's an uplifting message, to be quite frank with you, and I think you'll agree with me when we're landing the plane here. But it's not always going to reveal your prettiest self. And the truth can't be separated from Jesus. That's why Jesus is referring to himself as the Word of Life. Remember, he was the way, the truth, and the life, so it can't be separated from Jesus. Finding truth in the Word of God means you're never, ever rejecting the Word of God, regardless if you like what it says or not. Rejecting big things or small things is really self-defeating. It's going to put you in a position where you won't be able to discern or understand what God's desires are for your life. It's false disciples that really reject the word of God. You will never grow to know the truth or find appreciation for the truth if you're not anchoring yourself in the word of God. And Paul warns Timothy about this in 2 Timothy 4:3. Look at what he says to Timothy. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. Whether you like what it says or not, you cannot reject it. When you reject it, truth is lost in your life. Now, if you go to any bookstore, now for me, I'm a big Barnes & Noble guy. Go probably twice a month. And listen, if you want a collision of glory almost, of smells, you walk into Barnes & Noble and you got the fresh book smell and you collide that with Starbucks, amazing. Now, I wouldn't want this smelling like that in my house. That'd be weird. But when I go to Barnes & Noble, I'm having a stressful week, I walk into that and it's just like, yes, we're going to do some reading. I might not even do anything. I'm just going to sit here. I appreciate a Barnes & Noble. But when you go to Barnes & Noble, pay attention to the books that are on the bookshelves. Even in the Christian book section, hello? They're not pure gospel very often. It's just simply what people want to hear. Struggling with something in life, it's not necessary. Just because that book is sitting on the Christian bookshelf, you know this, it does not make it Christian. Very often we have books flooding our, even the great Barnes & Noble, flooding the shelves of just what people want to hear. It's because our culture today is very much rejecting of the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. We need to be abiding in the word. And when you abide in the word, you will find truth in the word. And now I'm at point three, and I can't help but think Signal JR, that's so weird. I should have never said that out loud, JR. Let's just go ahead and bring JR up here because I'm not going to be able to think about this now because we're all thinking it, right? Can we just give a hand for JR this morning? A little behind-the-scenes action as he makes his way, and usually it's real slick, and y'all kind of look over there, but then you know he's going to start playing, it's going to blend in. We just going to have, now I'm making too much of it, but he's just going to have to start, and we're going to have to reset, because I don't want you to miss the point three. Let's just get them keys going, man, as we close out. It's so weird. We should have just not done this at all. Find freedom in the word. Amazing playing, JR. Number three, find freedom in the word. And we see that again in verse 32. If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. Verse 32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So we're called to abide in, find truth in, and then find freedom in. When you abide in and find truth in what Jesus is saying, here comes freedom. If you hold fast to the truth, you will be set free. Freedom from what? He tells us in verse 34. Jesus responded, truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. So if you're kind of one of them ones that are habitually practicing sin right now, you are a slave to sin. The very practice of sin is what enslaves you. Ultimate bondage isn't enslavement to a political or economic system. It's a slavery to sin. It's a moral failure and rebellion against God. That's the type of slavery Jesus came to set us free from. It's what separates Jesus, the true Messiah, from the liberating Messiah the people were expecting. Remember, they were expecting just to be set free from their kind of bondage. And that's the problem, is a lot of people don't really recognize the freedom they really need, the being set free from sin. They don't see it. They don't realize it. That was the problem for the Jews of this time. They didn't realize the sinful enslavement they were under, the bondage they were under. They couldn't see their own slavery. And that's why they quickly told Jesus, what are you talking about, dude? We're not slaves of nothing. That's what they're like. We're not, what do you mean we're slaves? We're not slaves. Jesus snaps back. He's like, oh, you definitely are a slave. You're a slave to sin. Can you imagine that? Like, we're not slaves. Jesus is like, no, you're a slave to sin. And Jesus came to set us free from that. Whether you want to admit it or not, we all have been or currently are a slave to sin. And Jesus is saying, I can set you free from that. So look at the progression. Abide in, find truth in, hello, victory and freedom. D.A. Carson puts it like this. True freedom is not the liberty to do anything we please, but liberty to do what we ought. And it is genuine liberty because doing what we ought now pleases us. Have a question for you this morning. Have any of you in the house experienced an overwhelming temptation to sin? Like, oh man, that temptation, you're tempted to sin, whatever it is, and you caved into the sin. Anybody? Y'all, every single hand better go up because we have all felt the temptation and caved into sin. I mean, y'all are sitting there like, no, not me. Are you kidding me? What would Jesus say? Liars! I'm not going to do that though. Okay. We've all been there. I mean, come on. And you don't got to tell me what it is. We're not going to do a, let's just open up and share. And I did this. Don't do that. You should have some people in your life that you can confess that to and God. But we've all felt so tempted to sin. And then you cave in sin. And how does it make you feel? Horrible. Horrible. Get in your car, you're like, why did I do that again? But then let me ask you this question. Have you ever felt so tempted to sin and you said, no, not today? Anybody? And how does that make you feel? Oh, I mean, you're hit with this heavy temptation. And with the Spirit of God in you, you say, nah, not today. Man, you walk into your house, fire up the grill. We're doing steaks tonight. Why? Freedom. Quite literally freedom in America, praise God. But I'm an overcomer. I mean, it puts you up here. And you know what I mean. When you've been struggling with that thing, and you're an overcomer with the victory of Jesus in you, that... there is nothing like it. I mean, you're, and then you wake up the next day and you're like, man, praise God, I did it. I said no, Lord, it's because of you and me. I said no. That's the freedom that Jesus is offering you today. And you all know, like, there's nothing better than that. Because when you cave to the temptation and sin, it's a horrible feeling. That's slavery to sin, but when you say no, man, that's power. That's why Jesus came, to set you free, to give you the ability to say no. So freedom is not about letting loose, doing whatever we want to do. That's actually slavery to sin, to your passions, to your lust. True freedom is when we have the ability to flee from sexual immorality and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart, 2 Timothy 2:22. That's freedom. And you fill in the blank whatever your thing is. Freedom is when you can flee from the sin. That's freedom, and there ain't nothing like it. You can't convince me otherwise. The reality is, sad reality is, there's a lot of religious people who think they are free, and they are not. They are slaves to sin. They are children of the devil. And Jesus is coming in today saying, I can set you free, and what you need to do is hold fast to the Word of God. So a few things. Number one, abide in the Word. Don't abide in the Word out of guilt, but out of a love for God. Hey, you're going to have dry seasons. I was listening to a podcast called Pastor's Talk earlier this week. A guy named Mark Dever does it. If you're looking for Pastor's Talk podcast, which some of you may be. But they were talking about the dry season that pastors hit. Like, everyone faces dry seasons. Keep abiding in the Word. Don't beat yourself up when you miss a day in the Word. It's going to be okay. Keep abiding, but abide in the Word, not out of guilt, out of love. Secondly, find the truth in the Word. The truth, not your truth. The truth, not just the truth that makes you feel better. Don't be a Dave Ramsey caller. You know what I mean? Y'all know those Dave Ramsey callers? They'll call in, Dave, hey, how you doing? Better than I deserve, all that deal. And then it's, I got this motorcycle I've been looking at, and it's $60,000, and I really want this motorcycle. And Dave's like, all right, you know, buy it, $60,000. Like, well, there's one problem. I only have $3,000. So I was gonna put $57,000 down, and since it's a passion of mine, Dave, I was thinking like, you know, is this okay? And you know what Dave will go? He'll go, have you ever listened to the show? You know, don't do that to God. You know, God, you know, here is why what I'm doing is okay, God, you know, so, you know, I know your word says this, but can you make an exception? God's gonna be like, have you ever read my word? No. So we want to find truth in the word, not the truth that makes us feel better. Find the truth. And remember, there's freedom there. Thirdly, pursue freedom in Christ. Pursue freedom in Christ. Pursue the freedom of saying no to sin and yes to the truth revealed in the word. Look, we all can connect with that one. There ain't nothing like the freedom that Jesus offers us over our sin. Praise be to God, he gives us freedom over our sin. And that is because of Jesus. That's what we're preaching this morning. Christ crucified. You know, we did the big 1 Corinthians 15 last week. Guess what? Death still has no sting. That's a word to walk out of with. Death still has no sting. You can still be an overcomer. Jesus is still alive and he wants to save your life. And if you're thinking, and I think I need Jesus today, he will save you just like that. Freedom can start for you just like that. And it will be the best decision you can ever make in your life. If you're on the fence about salvation today, if you're thinking, I don't know if I've truly repented of my sin and given my life to Jesus, I really think I believe this. I want to talk to someone. Please come and talk to me or someone else from our prayer team. We'd love to walk with you in that way. But let's go to God in prayer. God, we want to be a people that hold fast to the word because we recognize when we don't, bad things happen. So I pray that we would be a people, that we would be a church that truly holds fast to the word of God, that we would abide in the word, that we would find truth in the word, that we would find freedom in the word. We are so grateful that through the Spirit of God in us, you empower us to have freedom over our sin and over our struggles. I pray for the one that's not really experiencing that freedom right now. I pray that you would help them walk out of here with a little extra pep in their step. That with Jesus in them, they can have freedom. They can say no. Praying definitely for the ones that don't know you at all, and they know it. They know it right now. They don't know you. Give them the faith to just say, Lord, I need you. Help them step out and talk to somebody. We're here. God, we love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey, go ahead and stand up. We have one last song of worship. Remember, it's all worship. If you want to talk to someone, please come and talk to someone. Maybe you just need to come down here and pray. Come down here and pray. But let's continue on in our worship.